From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, gun legislation is on the move. The president attacks conversion therapy, which has nothing to do with the economy. And there's a new parents' council, but it's populated by the same people who called parents terrorists. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Tuesday of this week, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins sat down with Missouri Senator Josh Hawley to talk about the gun legislation that is currently being discussed in the Senate. Here's Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
So what can you tell us so far about the conversations over this bipartisan proposal that addresses violence with guns?
Well, here's the thing, Tony. I mean, we're still learning about what is in this legislation. Of course, there's no legislation yet, as I understand it. As you said just a moment ago, the text has yet to be written, and I'm going to want to read, of course, anything that is written before I agree to vote on it. But I have to tell you that I don't really like the framework. I mean, this, among other things, this framework incentivizes red flag laws. I've got major concerns about a lot of these red flag laws across the country. There's 16 of them around the nation. Most of them allow for firearms to be taken away from a defendant without him being present in court, without an attorney being present in court, without any adjudication of a crime having been committed. That's really, really concerning to me, and I, for one, would rather see funding going towards school security than going towards the red flag laws and trying to encourage states, indeed push states, to pass laws that I think have a lot of problems.
Yeah. And another one of the provisions, apparently, from the framework is that makes it more difficult for those in the age category of 18 to 21 to purchase firearms. Now, you know, there are certainly probably some issues there, but at the same time, we have the same people pushing to restrict the rights of those in that age group to purchase guns. But they're saying kids even younger than that should be able to engage in radical surgeries in this whole transgender movement. So there's some inconsistency in how they see the ability of people under the age 21 to make decisions.
Yeah, that's very true, Tony. And the thing that really strikes me that is lacking from this package is any effort to go after criminals and to criminalize right. The kind of behavior with firearms violence that we're talking about. I mean, the federal government has crimes on the books against youth as part of a crime of violence, against felons possessing firearms. Why don't we increase the penalties for those crimes? Why don't we give prosecutors new resources to go after those crimes? That's what I do. I would increase the penalties. I would further criminalize this kind of behavior, the illegal behavior. We should be going after criminals, not law-abiding citizens, and that's my basic problem with this package.
Oh, I guess that's a very good approach, Senator, and one thing we could do is actually just enforce the laws we have. I mean, when you consider that we've had, just in the last few weeks, over 40 separate incidents of violent attacks against churches, pregnancy care centers, and other pro-life facilities by pro-abortion activists since the draft of the Supreme Court opinion was leaked. I mean, why are we not doing something? Why isn't the federal government, why isn't the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, doing something to enforce current law?
Well, this is a great point, Tony, and whether it relates to crimes of violence that involve guns or, as you say, with these firebombings, these arsons directed at pregnancy centers and pro-life care centers, and for the Justice Department to turn a blind eye, which is essentially what they've done, they're also turning a blind eye to the assassination attempt against Justice Kavanaugh. So far, the Attorney General still will not enforce the law that says you cannot picket or parade or intimidate a justice in order to try to get him or her to change their view on a case, their vote in a case. They're not enforcing that. And we see the consequences of this. So I'm with you. You know, we're in the middle of a major crime wave all across this country. Unfortunately, that crime is being directed increasingly against people of faith and those in the pro-life community. And this administration won't do anything about it.
Yeah. Senator, I want to switch gears a little bit. Something you've been drawing attention to, and it is the Homeland Security Disinformation Governance Board. It appears that the Secretary of Homeland Security was not completely truthful when he appeared before the Senate recently.
Yeah, well, what he told us, Tony, was that this was just a working group, that this board wouldn't have any real operational authority, and that just turns out to be totally false. As a matter of fact, we now know because of whistleblower documents that were turned over according to statute and that Senator Chuck Grassley and I have made public, we now know that this board was planned for months. We know that it did have authority to set guidelines. It had authority to coordinate the government response. And we know what the misinformation, so-called, the government wanted to target, the Biden administration wanted to target. It was about vaccines. It was about people who have questions over election integrity. This is what the government wanted to go after, and they wanted to weaponize federal power to do it. It's very wrong. We need to have a full hearing with Secretary Mayorkas for him to explain why he misled the committee.
You know, that sounds more like something coming out of Russia and Vladimir Putin's administration. But, I mean, that's happening right here in the United States. The effort to silence and marginalize the voices of the opposition.
Well, and particularly what's disturbing about that is not only would they do that, Tony, and that's bad enough, but then admit to Congress about it and the American people to go out and say that, oh, well, this board actually wasn't going to do anything. This board was only going to target foreign disinformation. We now know that's false. That is simply false, and they deliberately misled people about it. The whole American public, there ought to be consequences for that.
Yes, we need a disinformation board to govern the disinformation board. Senator Josh Hawley, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about Josh Hawley when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, if you're looking for a reliable source of news and commentary from a distinctly Christian perspective, we invite you to join us over at the Washington Stand. You can find it at washingtonstand.com or follow the links over at tonyperkins.com.
What is biblical masculinity? In our culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood, but men need to find a model of godly manhood that they can follow. Try our Stand Courageous Men's Ministry. We seek to help men develop a strong biblical character, cultivate positive habits, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Find an event near you at standcourageous.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As many of you know, when one chamber of Congress is working on legislation, the other chamber is working on their own version of it. Joining Tony on Wednesday to talk about the House version of the gun legislation was Congressman Greg Stube of Florida.
Greg, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, before I get into the gun control issue, I know this is something you're passionate about because you've been leading out on protecting women's sports. The latest, coming from the USDA saying they're going to take away lunches from schools, from children in schools, if they don't change their policies as it pertains to gender and sex. I mean, I was just talking about this in the previous segment. I know this is something you're passionate about. I don't know if you're tracking with that or not. But how goes it on the battle to protect women's sports?
Well, we're over 185 signatures on the discharge petition. We're going to keep working that. My hope is to get every Republican on there. So if you're a Republican member of Congress, if you're watching this and you look online and your Republican member of Congress has not signed that discharge petition, that simply would not allow a biological man to compete in women's athletics at the collegiate and high school level, you should encourage them to do that. My goal is to get all the Republicans on there and try to start working the Democrats. If we can get the 218 members of the House to force a vote on the floor. But it's this administration is weaponizing their agencies. Like you're talking about the USDA, the DOJ is doing the same thing. The FBI is doing the same thing, is weaponizing their agencies for their far left agenda and trying to force it on the American people. And they're using force to do that.
So let's talk about the issue of that's being discussed, the gun control issue. Because in the backdrop of this is that we've had over 40 incidents of violence against pro-life
pregnancy resource centers, pro-life organizations, and churches since the leak of the Dobbs opinion. And the administration is doing nothing, but yet they want to disarm law-abiding citizens.
We have a completely politicized Department of Justice that cares nothing about the current laws on the books that doesn't allow you to try to protest outside of justices' homes and get them to change their minds on an upcoming piece of court action. The law's already on the books. This DOJ and this attorney general are refusing to enforce it, despite the fact that Republicans are telling them there's already a law that protects these judges and you're not doing anything about it. This is all about their agenda, and their agenda is to take firearms from law-abiding citizens. There's no underlying other issue here. If you look at the amount of deaths that we've had in America due to overdoses on fentanyl, right, it is the leading cause of death, right, between those age of 18 and 45. Yet they're doing nothing to stop that. They're doing nothing to stop the overrunning of the border. They want open borders. If they genuinely cared about the health and safety of Americans and Americans dying, we would be doing things like that and shutting down our border and stopping the number one cause of death for that age demographic.
All right. So, Congressman Stubbe, the Senate is really the driver now on this issue of what they call gun-related violence in our schools. What, in your opinion, needs to come out of these, come out of the Senate in terms of their bipartisan negotiations?
Well, what should come out of there is let's not make gun-free zones that are a target for lunatics and crazy people in our country, where they know that there are people there that do not have firearms to defend themselves. And let's put armed, trained individuals in all these places. These mass shooters don't go to a gun shop or a pawn shop or an airport or other places where they know that there's law enforcement that's armed, that there's concealed permit weapon carriers that are armed to be able to defend themselves. I authored a bill when I was in the state legislature that would allow for former and current law enforcement and former current military to go through a training program to volunteer to be with our school safety officers and school resource officers in our school. That's the type of thing that we should be doing, not creating gun-free zones that is a target for lunatics, but allow those people to be able to defend themselves, not taking the rights away from law-abiding citizens.
And Congressman Stubbe, you've also addressed the underlying issue here when you look at these young, angry young men who are disproportionately the ones that are committing these heinous acts. The moral implosion that we see in our country, the breakup of the family, that's not being discussed by the Democrats.
No, I led my House floor debate with that. Some recent statistics out from the Christian Today about the mass majority of these 75% of your mass shooters in recent history, all from fatherless homes. Large majority of those that are rapists, large majority of those that commit violent crime, large majority of those that are in juvenile detention, all from fatherless homes. Why aren't we talking about the fact that we've taken God out of our schools, that we have a epidemic in our country of fatherless children, and providing these children with role models, providing these children with people they can look up to, and not encouraging them to commit violence? And that's what's going on in our country. That is the real moral dystopia that we have in our country right now that the majority wants to talk nothing about. They want to use that as a reason to take every law-abiding citizen's gun away.
Congressman Greg Stubbe, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you for bringing those issues up on the House floor. We need to absolutely talk about those issues and, I think, force the Democrats to talk about what they don't want to talk about. And that is they've kicked God out of our schools. They've removed prayer. And now we have total chaos.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about Greg Stubbe when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Do you and your family feel equipped to give a reason for the hope that you have in today's culture? The mission of FRC's Online Center for Biblical Worldview is to train Christians in advancing faith in their communities in the public square, as now more than ever we need to be grounded in the truths of God's Word. To access a variety of free resources rooted in Scripture on topics like voting, religious liberty, abortion, and much more, head over to frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday's broadcast of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins asked Dr. Quentin Van Meter to join him to discuss President Biden's executive order barring funding for therapy for unwanted same-sex attraction. Dr. Van Meter is the president of the American College of Pediatrics.
Dr. Van Meter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be back. Thank you, Tony.
All right, let me just start with this. The president said that they are going to be eliminating or banning conversion therapy. Define what the president's talking about.
The president is talking about exactly the opposite. What the advocates of taking children who have an incongruence of gender with their biologic sex, he is converting them, actually, and attempting to convert their sex to the opposite sex, which is medically impossible. When you're born a male, you are biologically a male for every day of your life for the last breath you take from the first breath. And so he is actually condoning a conversion, if you will, of these poor individuals who are suffering from deep emotional scars. And instead of paying attention to the emotional scars, like the way we do in terms of our approach to these patients, is to take care of their mental health and the deep dimensions that cause these problems. And we are affirming their biologic sex within their body and letting them live a life of happiness and contentness and good health, and particularly mental health, and decreasing the likelihood that they will take their lives in abject depression.
Okay, so a couple of things there. One is, so the president was talking earlier in that statement about stop the hate. He's actually talking about policies such as those in Florida that says they will not spend government money to fund transgender surgeries or hormone treatments. They're saying they're not going to do that to children. He says that's hateful, but at the same time, what he says is we're going to spend money to make sure that these kids have access to hormone therapies and surgeries, but we're not going to let them have access to the counseling that can help them bring their biological sex in line with their thinking, or vice versa.
Absolutely. So it's a play on words, and it's unfortunately that, you know, for the sake of these children, we know that the adverse effects of the affirmation at every level, social affirmation, medical affirmation, and surgical affirmation. It's kind of like there's a journey across an unknown plane, and there's 30 plus years of people who have made a traverse across this plane very carefully, very deliberately, and have come out at the end with people who are emotionally stable and live a very happy life,
right,
as adults. And what he's trying to do is to send everybody over a waterfall that's maybe a shortcut past that long journey that takes so much careful time and planning, that's very, very compassionate planning. And he's sending them over a shortcut which has rapids, and there are plenty of wrecks that have happened along that way that we already know about. They are crawling back off the rocks, screaming at everyone, don't go this way, don't go this way, please, it's a bad way to go. And he's putting the full force of government to push everybody over the waterfall.
So Dr. Van Meter, you talk about the harm. I want to quote from basically a statement from the administration today, prior to the celebration there in the White House and the executive order being signed. But this is their claim, that children whose gender or sexual identity is rejected by their family, they are 8.4 times more likely to attempt suicide and 5.9 times more likelier to report serious depression than their peers. But they're not going on to tell the rest of the story. Having these hormone therapies and surgeries does not take away that depression nor that tendency toward suicide.
No, it does not. It actually amplifies it. There's a very recent study that actually shows the increase in suicide completions over the long run on patients that have had puberty blockers, as opposed to the studies that they quote, which are very poorly done studies of sampling from biased, you know, groups of individuals who call in and in retrospect try to remember what happened 10, 15, and 20 years ago. There's no longitudinal study. There is no no ability for those conclusions to be made in reality. And it's actually the biggest lie. They've got the kids in believing in the lie, and they bludgeon the parent. It's severe bullying for society to say, if you don't make my child the sex identity that they want to become, they are going to kill themselves, and it will be your fault. And that is absolutely unsubstantiated. It is a statistical lie. It's a lie on so many levels, and yet that is the forefront of their push, as if it, you know, it protects their ideology. And it is just an ideology. It's not based on any kind of science.
All right, Dr. Van Meter, final question for you. President of the American College of Pediatricians, the White House claiming that, you know, doctors and all the major medical associations are behind them on this.
Well, that's the ideologues who run the committees that design these guidelines, and that's all they are. They do not represent the majority of the membership. The membership themselves have no idea how these regulations and concepts and guidelines have ever been brought together, because it's only one side. They have never convened a broad-based board to begin establishing a standard of care for these transgender and gender incongruent children. They have just done one side, eliminated all opponents, asked no advice from anybody with a contrary opinion, and they publish it as if it belongs to everybody and it's everybody's opinion. There's nothing farther from the truth.
It's sad. It really is sad what they're doing to children, leading them down this path, all for a political agenda and ideology. Dr. Van Meter, as always, thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here. Anytime I can help, give me a call. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Absolutely will do.
You can find out more about Dr. Van Meter when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Did you know that pornography, sex trafficking, and abortion are all linked and on the rise across the globe? Issues such as pornography, human trafficking, drug legalization, and abortion are all violations of human dignity and have resulted in the devaluation of human life in our culture. Educate yourself on the harms of these issues so that you can offer hope. Learn more at frc.org/life.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday, Tony was joined by Representative Mary Miller to discuss the president's decision to form so-called parents' councils. But you won't believe who is on those councils. Here's how Tony got that interview going.
Congresswoman Miller, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I tell people that one thing I've recognized here in D.C. is that there's a spirit of deception over our country, and I want to thank you for being a beacon of light and truth.
Well, thank you. Let me ask you the question I'm asking my listeners today. Do you think we're in a battle for the soul of the nation?
Oh, absolutely. We have no mooring. I think going back decades ago when we decided to teach children that they came from nowhere and they're here for no purpose, now, you know, we're reaping the results of that.
I think we absolutely are, and I do want to thank you for bringing those types of issues into the discussion. You have done that consistently and repeatedly. You're not afraid, not ashamed of the truth, and we admire you and appreciate you for that. And you're sounding the alarm over, I mean, you've been on this with the Department of Justice calling parents a terrorist, this has really gotten under the skin of the Biden administration. They know they're on the losing side of this. So they've announced this new council that is going to be supposedly made up of parents, but something looks very familiar about it. It's the same people who agreed with the memo about parents being domestic terrorists. Tell us about it.
Well, they're setting up this council and supposedly representing parents, but these are the parents on the left that basically called the parents that showed up at school board meetings domestic terrorists. So there again, the spirit of deception The Biden administration, everything that comes out of their mouth is twisted and they're lying. It's kind of interesting how they're attacking the states that are have decided to defend our children against transgendering. And when they won't even do the number one job they have, which is to secure our border.
Right.
And get our energy production going. Those are the two things that Joe Biden should be doing. And he's focusing on going after states that have every right to pass laws and protect their children.
Yeah. By the way, folks, last month, May, another record after another record month with the number of people coming across our southern border. So Congresswoman Miller is absolutely right. The border is an open door to who knows who all is coming into this country. Yesterday, the president issued this executive order that addresses so-called conversion therapy. This deals with transgenderism. But who's converting whom? I mean, it's the left that's trying to convert our children into thinking they're a gender that they're not.
Well, I think it's hard for Americans to actually admit to where we've come to and where the place we're at in our country. And we're going to have to just say, you know, we have ignored God. We've been rebels and gone our own way. And now we've come to the place where we're saying that we can change our children from one sex to another, and we're going to do it without parental consent. And I have a map, actually. Maybe you could put it up sometime, but it's a picture of the United States in 2007, and it's a picture of all the pediatric gender clinics in the country, and there's maybe two on the map, but today the entire country is covered with dots representing pediatric gender clinics. And they are doing this and going around parents. Even when parents end up in court over this, they're losing. And schools that are discharging teachers that are promoting this, these teachers are suing the schools, and then the schools are losing. But one thing the American people have to quit doing is we cannot be passive. And I'm just telling people, do whatever it takes to protect your children. I mean, if you have to sell a car or try to work it out with your spouse, who's going to work on which shift in order to homeschool your children, or maybe you're going to go get a second job in order to afford a private school. If your school is pushing this CRT and transgender policies on your children, please get your children out. It's not worth it to leave them in.
And you are speaking from experience. You've done just that, and even running for Congress as a mom and a grandmother to defend common sense, decency, and the future of our children. Congresswoman Mary Miller, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.